This is episode 216 on July 27th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Dave Podner.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Greetings, gentlemen, and welcome, Matt. How are you doing?
Good, Joe. How are you?
I am doing good. We're here for another episode, and it's good to hear your voice back on the show. I'm glad you were able to...
Oh, I can't stay away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one thing about iPhone photography and pet peeves. You can't stay away. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, while I might not be on the podcast on a weekly basis, I am still moderately active behind the scenes.
Oh, no, you're doing a great job in the Facebook group. So
yeah, so that and a couple other things that I'll talk to you about after the show regarding social media or whatever. So I still enjoy being part of it. I just wanted to step away from talking all the time for a little bit.
Well, good. So what else have you been up to? Any photography stuff in particular?
Yeah, a little bit of stuff. I guess since we last spoke, whenever that was, kind of a while ago now, let's see, I went on vacation, which was like way up in northern Michigan, like Traverse City area, and that was very awesome. Did kind of a lot of photography, but I didn't really get a lot of the kind of pictures that I like to like post and share on social media. It just seemed like when all the best light was happening, I was in the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so like the time of year that we were there, which was almost a month ago now already, but, you know, sunset was at like 9:30 at night.
Yep.
You know, so but at that time we're you know, trying to get our son settled down for bed and stuff. So I would never got to go out and experience the sunsets, and then the weather sometimes was kind of iffy and stuff like that. But overall, it was pretty cool. And I think I do have a few pictures that I still need to get around to post on Instagram and Facebook and all that jazz. And yeah, I don't know. There's been quite a bit of other photography related things going on. I was out a couple nights ago at a place trying to get some wildflower / sunset pictures, and I have one or two that I probably will post soon, but overall it was kind of a flop. It was a little bit too breezy, and the types of pictures I was trying to get, which were mostly HDR pictures, you know, with multiple exposures, and it was just impossible because the breeze was blowing the flowers around too much. But the cool thing was, I actually decided to call it an evening, went back to my car, you know, put my camera gear in the car. And then I kind of noticed like not too far away, there was like all these lightning bugs. And I thought, I wonder if I could get these with my iPhone with like slow shutter cam or some app, you know, that does good with low light stuff. So I got the tripod back out and, did some captures and got like a bunch of lightning bugs in the picture. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I saw that. I had forgotten you had posted that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It turned out better than I expected.
Nice.
So that was cool. And then I do have some other stuff coming up. I don't expect anyone to remember this, but about a year ago, I went to a place here in Ohio called Stan Hewitt. It's the home of one of the founders of Goodyear. So, you know, whenever that was founded back in the like early 1900s or whatever, and, you know, the guy was a millionaire a zillion times over, and he had this estate about a half hour north of where I live that was just you know, absolutely enormous. And now it's like a place where like you pay to go. It's kind of like in your neck of the woods, Joe, the Biltmore.
Yeah.
In Nashville, it's kind of similar to that. You know, you can go there and you pay an entrance fee and you could tour the grounds and stuff like that. And, you know, there's all these gardens and the house or whatever is this giant mansion. And, you know, it's decorated, you know, pretty awesome with all the stuff that's as close to original from the time period that the family was living there. In any case, I got to go there for like an Insta meet, but it was kind of like a private thing last year.
Very cool.
And photograph it for a day. Well, they invited me back this year, and this time they're having us come in the evening, and we get to preview a three-dimensional like laser show. So that should be pretty cool. And I'm trying to figure out how am I going to photograph a laser show.
Well, it's probably going to be experimental.
Yeah, I would say so. So in any case, yeah, things are happening. So pretty cool stuff.
Very cool.
How about you guys? What have you guys been up to?
You go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Well, when you were mentioning about the laser show, I can almost the same way that you did the fireflies, where
yeah.
Just because I can see that working real good. Just at least the laser shows I've been to were, you know, I don't know if it's a type or it's going to be more abstract shapes or they're going to actually put shapes up there.
Yeah, actually, let me see. It might not be a laser show. I forget what they called it. They called it a 3D projection show.
Yeah, that could be okay. Kind of weird then.
So it's more like
yeah,
like watching a movie.
Sounds pretty cool.
Sounds neat, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other cool thing is that I asked them if I could bring my wife and son because I kind of feel bad that like I get to do all this cool stuff and they just stay home or whatever. So they agreed to let me bring them. So
nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's funny that you say, you know, when you were on vacation, how you weren't able to go out at the times that you wanted to. I was in the same boat when we went up to New Hampshire. You know, we were trying to get the kids in bed by 8. And after that, we're like, well, throw some headphones on and watch a movie while the kids sleep. You know, they're because going in and out of a hotel room, they'll wake up. But yeah.
There was before we had our son. I used to sneak out like early in the morning, you know, to go do sunrise pictures and stuff. But now that's pretty much impossible until he gets a little older, and then it'll be easier again. But
Yeah. So, Dave, you were going to mention about what you've been up to. So,
yeah,
you know, we got sidetracked.
This past weekend, a local, and it sounds a little more highfalutin, and it really, and I think it really is, but the local yacht club had a open house where it was it's kind of your yearly celebration they have / fundraiser. And they open it to non-members on Saturday. So they had an open house there, and you were able to get on the close to the water, close to the docks there. But they also set off fireworks at night. So we were able to kind of, you know, hang out, get a couple of nice water pics, but also try the fireworks pics and try to get something decent that way.
Nice.
And found out probably the easiest way to get a decent fireworks pic, at least for all the pictures I was taking, was wait for the finale.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was trying to time it right with some of the early photos, and I could see, you know, the fireworks being shot off and trying to time it just right where I would click it right when it goes, and it just wasn't happening. My timing was off, and the delay between the shutter and everything else, it just wasn't working. But when that finale hit and it would just firework after firework after firework, it was a lot easier just saying, oh, I'm just going to keep hitting the button here, and I'm going to get a good, I'm going to get enough good pictures here. I can put something together.
I wonder if that Lightning Cam Pro would work with fireworks.
I tried with that, and it, at least in the early ones, it, we were, I guess we were too far away where it wasn't bright enough to set off.
Okay.
Or it didn't, or the fireworks weren't big enough part of the sky where it basically, they were good size, but they weren't massively filling the sky and lighting up the ground around us. Okay. Like a lightning strike would.
Okay.
So yeah, unfortunately I thought that at first, said, well, I'll give this a try, and it unfortunately didn't work. And like I said, waiting for the finale where timing and hand-eye coordination was a lot less part of the problem, part of the issue, worked out really well.
Okay.
And the one other thing was they handed out the, they weren't glow sticks, but they were kind of the same, you know, snap it and let it glow in the dark.
Yeah.
For necklaces. So a couple of the pictures I took were, I held up the glow necklace and took a photo behind it. So it looked like the fireworks were framed by this circle of glowing light.
Okay.
So that was just kind of just something to try to make it look a little different too.
Yeah.
Well, and cool. Then I threw kind of best of the pictures together using the Apple Clips app.
Got it.
As a nice little summary there.
Well, good. Well, that's, yeah. Fireworks are fun. You know, we're starting to, I can't believe we're almost going to be starting up soon, but you know, we've moved past the time of year when the sun's going to be in the sky the longest, and now we're going to start heading towards a shorter day. But you know, with the time of year that we're in, you know, we're going to start getting into some good thunderstorms. And, you know, seeing some of the photos that some of our listeners have been doing with lightning, I'm itching for a lightning storm. We haven't had one lately, or if the one we did was really not one that I could be outside for. We had some, I think they're called you know, micro bursts where had
those things are very dangerous.
Yeah, we had some trees go down. There was a shed type place where all the sheds were knocked over. So, you know, it would have been fun to go outside and set up the tripod during the storm, but there was no guarantee that it would have been safe. but yeah, let's see here. The things that I've been getting into is doing a little bit of editing. I've been editing some of the pictures that I took on my New Hampshire trip, and I have, you know, been playing with some black and whites, but, you know, just a little bit here and there. I'm, you know, we have a couple apps that I've been playing with, and actually, let's go ahead and get into it. Let's talk about, we're going to do an app review right now, and the app review is going to be on, Plotograph. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, you did it.
Yeah, Plotograph. So, Matt, how did you find this app?
In our handy dandy iPhonography, a tiny shutter group on Woo-hoo. Facebook.
Yeah. You posted a video of a Plotograph.
Not a video. A Plotograph.
A Plotograph. It is a video, but it's a a Plotograph by one of our listeners, correct?
Nope. I posted my own Plotographs.
Oh, so the...
No. So basically, another member of the group, Lee Robinson, he posted his own Plotograph, and I saw it. Oh. And So the deal with it is I've been aware of Plotograph for at least a year, if not longer than that. But when it first became a thing, it was just a desktop app, you know, that you'd have on your desktop computer, and it costs like $300. So it's called Plotograph Pro. And so if anyone doesn't know like what this is or what we're talking about, so basically it's taking a still image, and the program allows you to animate like parts of the image. So like, you know, if you just had like a general scene of like whatever, a field with some mountains in the background and there's big puffy clouds in the sky, you can animate those clouds so it looks like they're like floating by.
Yes.
Right. So there was another technique that came out a handful of years ago called Cinemagraphs. And there's also a program for that called Cinemagraph Pro. Now, a Cinemagraph is a little bit different. A Cinemagraph actually, you start with a video clip. And then I've never used the program, so I don't know exactly how it works. But basically, you choose which areas you want to move and which areas you want to remain static.
Yes.
So
it's the reverse, because you're taking a movie and making part of it a still while the rest of it continues to move. Whereas Plotograph was you're taking a still and creating a, I'm going to say it, a movie out of a still.
Yes. So, so in any case, with the Plotograph thing, it's an interesting technique or whatever. And Lee Robinson had a one that he posted that I thought was pretty cool. It basically, I forget what the picture was of. Now, it was basically like a silhouette of like a horse.
Yes.
Standing like on top of a hill or something. Yes. And it's got this really moody sky in the background, and he kind of made the clouds move or whatever. And when he said it was a Plotograph, I was like, I didn't know that they had an iPhone app. So I like immediately went to the app store and looked it up, and sure enough, they have an app. So it's $4.99, which is, you know, in the world of apps, I guess that's expensive, but you know, for what it's doing, I kind of expect it to cost some money. And I downloaded it and played with it last night, and it's kind of addictive, to tell you the truth. It's pretty fun. So I did a waterfall picture where I made it look like the water is, you know, actually flowing.
Yes.
And then I, in the comments of that picture, I posted another one, which was a river where I'm standing on a bridge over a small river, and it kind of looks like the water's moving, and there's some pretty dramatic moody clouds in the sky that also are moving.
Yeah. I think Lee also did one other, and I'm trying
to find it. It was in the comment from Matt's waterfall one.
Okay.
It was like looking over a bridge with very angry clouds in the background in black and white.
Yes.
Yeah, clouds seem to be the popular thing. Just because it makes sense, you know, I guess. It's a cool app. There's a slight learning curve to it.
Yes.
You know, Dave and I were talking about it before the show started, and I haven't really looked, Dave. Is there tutorials or not?
There are, in the very beginning, there are kind of step-by-step slides.
Oh, different
things do, but I don't want to call them full-blown tutorials, though, because it's saying, well, here's an anchor, and put an anchor here, and I'm like, okay. It was, like you said, it's a little trial and error, because it was like, well, I put an anchor here and I matted out what I don't want to, mast off what I didn't want to have move.
Yeah.
And I hit the play button. I'm like, okay, nothing's moving. Why isn't anything moving? And then to me, because the animate button, the one where you actually say, here's the movement I want, is on the far left.
Yep.
Instead, and to me, it should be on the far right, because that should be the last thing you do.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, oh, that's where I'm supposed to do it. Like I said, a lot of it's hidden, unfortunately.
So when you first open the app, there's basically a toolbar across the bottom. And the first icon is like a light bulb, which is like your little ideas, tutorials of sorts, right? And you can just swipe to the right to go through the different slides or whatever for the tutorial. And then you have a tooltips, which is the next one over. It's an eye with a circle around it, like an information type thing. Basically just tells you, it basically just puts labels on the stuff that's on the screen, like the different icons or whatever, tells you what they are. Then you got your plus symbol with a circle around it, which is where you upload a photo into the app. Camera icon, which basically just opens the camera within the app if you just want to use the app to take a picture. And then there's a square icon, which is just a series of
examples,
five sample pictures. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That, to be honest with you, I don't really know why they're there. Oh, because you can swipe them to the right and it'll load them into the app, so you could just play with those if you don't have your own pictures for some reason.
Yeah.
So if you upload a photo into the app, then you end up with a whole nother toolbar on the bottom. So you have your animate, your mask, your eraser, your anchor, and a play button. And then this is what it took me forever to figure out. If you swipe the toolbar to the right,
yes,
then your play button goes to the left side, and then you have a select, a speed, crop, and share. It took me like forever to figure that out, right? So basically, your animate function, you tap on that, and then you can draw like arrows over the things that you want to have move, and you draw the arrows in the direction that you want the stuff to move in. And you can add, a bunch of arrows to different things, and you can have arrows go in different directions. It's really up to you. I mean, you can kind of do it however you want. Your mask is what you're masking all the stuff as kind of as close as you can that you don't want to move. And then, the eraser is self-explanatory. That's to erase, your mask if you accidentally masked something that you didn't mean to. And then the anchor button is actually really important. So whatever you drew your arrows on and whatever your mask isn't touching, you kind of want to put little anchor points, like right on the edge of that mask around the things that you're going to move. And what I've noticed is when you have those anchor points in, it does a better job of like blending the movement into the still stuff. And it, because if you don't use the anchor points, then it literally just looks like everything that's not masked is moving. So you have this really hard edge between what's moving and not moving. So those anchor points really help kind of like smooth that out, and it looks more, I hesitate to use the word natural, but I guess that's the best word I could come up with here.
Hmm.
And then, your select button, which is just a little, it looks like a little hand, you can use that to select like anchor points or arrows that you drew if you want to move them or delete them. And you could select multiples at the same time to move or delete whatever you want to do. Your speed function, that just adjusts how fast the stuff like moves. It's basically just like the animation speed. Like for instance, the first one I did with the waterfall, I think I have the speed set right in the middle. There's like a little speed slider that basically goes from 0.1 up to 10. And I have it set right in the middle at 5. But then the other one I posted with the river and the clouds, I actually have the whole way down at 0.1.
Wow.
Just because I felt that that's how it looked best. And then, your crop function is, kind of self-explanatory. There's a free crop, so you could crop it in any, dimension or aspect that you want to. There's like a landscape crop, which is kind of like a 4x3 aspect. There's a Facebook cover crop, which I actually think is cool. I might utilize that and see. I don't know if you post these to Facebook. I like for your cover photo if they play or not, but I guess they do. So I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say when you save it, you have different options to be able to choose from. But I'm getting ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. So in the export function, when you first tap on that, you have two choices: social media, which saves it as a fine, Joe, saves it as a video in the MP4 format. And then there's also an iMessage, or if you're going to put it like in an email or a text. I tried that and it's just a picture. There's no animation.
Really?
So okay.
I had the exact same thing, Matt. I tried to send a message to Ruth via iMessage, and I said, "Well, see if this does anything." I didn't want to kind of tip off what it did, and just to say, "Do you see anything happening with the picture?" And she said, "No, it looks like a picture."
Yeah. So I don't know what the point of that is, but if you click on the video one, you get six different presets. Basically, you have like your camera roll icon, photograph icon, which I don't really know what that's for exactly. There's Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and Twitter, and then each one of those is like a different amount of time that the animation is for. For some reason, for Facebook, it has it set to 22 seconds. That seems like just outrageously long. So I basically just saved them to my camera roll and then posted them to Facebook from there.
Yes.
I think 10 seconds is plenty long. And then you have an image size slider, basically just goes from min to max or whatever. So I guess that's going to change depending on maybe which iPhone you have and how many megapixels and the resolution and all that jazz. But
I think they give you an option to be able to choose the actual size of the file, because the smaller format isn't going to take up as much space as say the large format.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I always save stuff in max. I don't care how big it is. So yeah, I don't know. I realize $4.99 is probably not for everybody, but it's definitely kind of a neat app. It's definitely something different. It's fun to play with. I already feel like I got my $5 worth out of it.
Yeah.
I have another picture of fireworks that I animated last night. Now I'll tell you, that is very hard. It doesn't look convincing to me anyway. I showed it to some people today and they thought it was really cool. And I might share it, but it was really tedious to do.
Were they patronizing you?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, okay.
No. Now these are the ordinary boring people that I was talking about earlier.
Well, I know one reason they have the crop for Plotograph. The crop is that they have their own little social network on the website for Plotograph.
Oh, okay.
So they have their own their own size format for uploading that way.
I see. Very cool.
What were your thoughts on it, Dave?
Well, you know what? I've tried a couple, and I'm actually used Mass Suggestion to work on one that I posted with the climbing ivy on the house, which one person said looked just creepy. The overgrown house, and it does, and adding those anchors in makes a huge difference in terms of making it look better, for lack of a better term.
I'm still trying to get the anchor thing down.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
you almost have to use it like a border.
I think in if you like read like in the app store, the description of the app, they say it's like quick and easy. That's generous. I don't know if it's quick and easy because depending on like where you place the arrows, how long or short the arrows are, the direction they go, it has a pretty profound effect on the movement.
Yeah.
And so I forget which one. It was the waterfall one. I messed around with that for a good long time till I thought it looked mildly convincing.
Yeah.
But you know, there was a lot of times when the upper part of the fall has like a short little tier to it, and it just kind of looked like this whole tier was like dropping away. And it looked really weird.
Yeah.
And it took me like, you know, just a long time of adding and removing anchor points and arrows and stuff to get it to look right. So, you know, I don't know. It just depends on the photo, I guess, how complicated it's going to be. But and then the same thing with the fireworks picture, too. That one, you know, I actually had to use less arrows than I thought I was going to need to use. And it, you know, it's trial and error, basically.
Right. Yeah, with my image, so I did the USS Wisconsin, and I had created a black and white of the battleship and thought, oh, that I'd like to try it with the clouds, because I have I used a yellow filter which blacks out the blue sky when you do a black and white. And so you have these really bright white clouds against a black sky, and I have them moving in the picture, but I had to do a lot of masking and trying to figure out the arrows was at first a little frustrating, because I didn't realize you had to swipe right on the toolbar to get to the select tool to be able to manipulate the arrows. And so you know, I realized that, you know, the arrows, the longer the arrows were, the faster the animation would be, whereas the very, very short arrows was what I was actually looking for. So I ended up using a couple of those, but I had to play around with it. And after a while, I got used to it. But I think I'm only scratching the surface of what this app can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely powerful. I'm impressed with the results that I got. It's pretty fun. I still am not 100% sure like how like practical it is. But I mean, if all you're really doing is just, you know, you're taking pictures for the fun of it and you're just sharing them online, it's definitely a way to make your photos stand out for sure.
Yeah. And I just tried to use one of the videos for a Facebook cover, since it gives you that crop option. And it looks like Facebook won't let you use a video in your cover photo.
Interesting.
It actually wants a photo, even though I think you can do that. Even though I think you can do it for your profile pic, you can do a video.
Yes.
But they won't let it do it for that, because that would be...
I think it would look nice.
Have to go to the page versus the cover photos. I don't know how many people see it, but that would be striking if you get just that little bit of movement where it kind of catches people's eye and, you know, just gets people just attention, something unexpected.
Yes, I agree. All right. Well, cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what other people are going to be doing with this app, and I'll have a link for it in our show notes. And, you know, if you guys have any tips, you know, go on to Facebook and give us your tips on what you did and how you were able to get something to move the way it should, or the way you wanted it to, because I think there's a lot of people that may give it a try and may give up. But if we have some interaction in our group on how to use it, I think more people will. So that's very cool. All right.
One thing real quick before we move off, Joe. I think I read somewhere, and I can't exactly remember where, but saying the $4.99 price was an introductory price.
That's right. Okay.
They didn't. Then they didn't say when it would go up to $9.99. But and they may, depending on how popular it is, they may. And it's hard to say why. You know, I understand why the low introductory price. But yeah. So I mean, if it's something you're interested in, I would say, and if you think it's worth $5 to give it a try, but again, it one thing, it is a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
So
you're doing
this one thing. It does it very well.
Yeah. They may end up branching out into other things, but if an app is good, I don't mind spending money. I remember when Snapseed first came out, it was $4.99, and it was worth every penny. It was worth 10 times as much as what they were selling it for. And so, and this is actually a good segue. So let me go ahead and play this.
Focus point.
All right. Focus point. We're going to talk about something that has to do with apps. But it's something that Matt wanted to, go over and give us his thoughts on, and it had to do with subscriptions and apps. So Matt, why don't you go ahead and start us off on your thoughts?
Okay. Yeah. I apologize, everyone. This is going to turn out to be a long episode. I thought it'd be good if we just talked a little bit about, kind of this trend of like subscription based apps, and what kind of got me thinking about it is a few weeks back, I think it was at the beginning of this month, the developer, which is called Lightrix, they make Nlight, and they released another version of Nlight. It's called Nlight Photo Fox, and it's kind of a the difference, I guess, is that basically it has like a lot more features, and it can work with layers and a whole bunch of different stuff or whatever. And the other thing that's different about it is you can download the app and you can use like a bunch of the features on it. But if you really want to unlock the app and be able to use like all the features, then they're going to a subscription-based model. And so basically it costs $3.99 a month or $19.99 a year, or $39.99 for a one-off purchase. All right. So, right away I was like, $40, I ain't doing that. And I haven't done anything with it because, to be honest with you, so far, Nlight's original app, is still works great for me. There's nothing. I do actually kind of wish that it worked in with layers. I think that that would certainly be beneficial for, to Nlight. And so maybe I'll end up trying this, you know, this app for a month or something like that and seeing if I like that or whatever. But, you know, I went to the reviews on the app and started reading the reviews, and it's basically, you know, just full of these like 1- and 2-star reviews, but the reviews aren't really about the app as much as they are about people being upset with the subscription.
Yeah.
Right. And so like that got me thinking about the subscription kind of thing, because it seems like as time goes along here, that's becoming, you know, a more and more popular way, you know, for apps to kind of make their money. And I completely get it, you know, and I'm actually almost in a way, I'm surprised that it's taken as long as it has for this to start becoming like more ubiquitous. 'Cause you think about like, you know, a lot of us have had desktop computers for, you know, a number of years now. You know, you, a lot of us probably going back into the 1990s.
Yeah.
And one of the things that that a lot of people end up getting when they have a desktop computer is antivirus software. And 9 times out of 10, that's a subscription.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, you're paying for a subscription on that software for, you know, a long time now. And then, you know, I'm not sure how many years ago it was now, but you had Adobe kind of do away with, you know, selling, you know, these outright purchases for like Photoshop and Lightroom. And they kind of went also to their Creative Cloud, which is a subscription based model.
Yes.
You know, so like for photographers, you pay $9.99 for Photoshop and Lightroom, and that's $9.99 a month. And, you know, some people are real upset about it. And, you know, other people thought, well, you know, I use it all the time. It's not really that bad of a price. You know, when you consider that, you know, Photoshop used to cost like $600 or $700 on its own.
Yes.
And then when they when they released a new Photoshop version in a couple years, you had to pay $600 or $700 again.
Yeah.
You know, unless they cut you a break and gave you a discount to upgrade or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of the nice things about a subscription, like with Photoshop, is that, you know, you're paying to use that app for a month, but you're also paying for updates, you know? So Adobe is continuously making updates to to Photoshop and to Lightroom, and you're getting those updates immediately.
Yeah.
You know, when you subscribe. So that's what I kind of wanted to touch on here with the phone apps is, you know, the more I think about this, the more I'm kind of thinking that the way I see things going is we're probably going to get to a point where a lot of apps are going to go to this subscription-based kind of thing here. And we're not going to financially be able to do what we've been doing, which is like, cool, there's another app that looks cool, let's try it out.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be like very purposeful and actually put a lot of thought and kind of buy into the apps that you're going to use, because if you're subscribing to it, you're more likely to use that app more often, you know, because you want to feel like you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah.
And then you're likely to have less apps, because how many subscriptions are you going to pay for?
Right.
You know, like, I'm not going to pay for a whole bunch of $3.99 a month subscriptions. You know, that's just crazy.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you see, I see a future in the subscription based apps, but then I'm also seeing those app developers that will buck the system. They'll come out with an app and they'll say, you know, $5.99 or $15.99, $14.99, where they make it a premium for a one-time purchase with the hopes that people will buy their app without a subscription and see the value in that. Because, you know, I remind myself, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, that when I first had my second cell phone had internet options, and it actually had a screen that you could see pictures on, and, you know, basically a stamp size screen, and they had wallpaper, they had the different ringtones that you can get and put on your phone. And it was just like a bonanza. Oh, this is great. I can put all these things on. I can customize my phone. And then I had internet, and, you know, it was garbage, but I still had internet. And, you know, these are things that's like, wow, I never thought I'd be able to have internet in my pocket, you know, type thing. But then it was like the hook, because the cell companies were like, oh, you like having pictures or wallpapers on your phone, you like the ringtones, it'll be $1. And at first I was like, heck no, why would I pay for something that I was getting for free? And, you know, I think the apps, especially in the Android sector of apps, you know, most of them are free. Most of them, you know, you don't want to pay for something that you don't know is good. Whereas the app, you know, the Apple apps, there's always been this sort of quality. And so it took me a little while to say, oh, I'll pay for that. You know, I battled with myself because I was fighting the same feelings I had when I first had access to wallpaper and ringtones and the internet. Is like, why am I going to pay for this? But I got over it quickly because I found the value in it by paying for it.
So that's yes. So, like, the value thing, if a developer decides that they're going to go with the subscription model, then it's on them to basically continue to add value.
Yes.
Because the second their customer base perceives them as not adding value, but they're continuing to pay, they're going to cancel that subscription and stop using the app, and they'll find something else.
Yep.
So, that is one of the benefits to a subscription model, is that developers have the incentive then to continue to update, to continue to provide new features, new content, you know, whatever it is that they need to provide based on the type of app. You know, think about how many apps you have on your phone, you know, probably right now, that you open them up and you get that little screen that pops up that says, update, you know, this app hasn't been updated in, you know, X amount of time, and soon it's not going to be compatible with the operating system. If you, you know, still want to use this app, you need to reach out to the developer and ask them to update it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to be an issue with apps that you're paying a subscription on.
Unless developer quits, and then, it'll be an issue. But, you know, companies like Adobe, you know, they took a risk. And I think the app developers are looking at Adobe as a template or the standard of where they want to go, because residual income is what people strive for. You know, if you can get a subscriber, if you could get 10 subscribers, you know, that's, you know, with the residual income, that helps them, because then they can hire the best developers. They can hire people that will bring quality to the apps. And you know, whereas before they were trying to get people to buy it. Well, after a while, people will have it, and then the buying stops. The income slows down. And now they're like, okay, what do we do? Are we going to do like that one app did and say, by the way, we've upgraded, but you have to buy it again. And, you know, that kind of rubbed people the wrong way.
Yeah, well, yeah, I could see that. So I'm wondering, Joe, what do you like better? Would you prefer a subscription? Like, let me pick an app here. Well, I'm not going to pick an app, but, you know, let's just say it's an app. You have an app and you really like it. You use it all the time. Like, maybe it's a photo editing app of some sort. Would you, if you saw the value in the app, would you rather pay a subscription to have all the features that the app offers, or would you rather buy in-app purchases to unlock the features?
I would probably go with in-app purchases, mainly because there's probably stuff that I won't use.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that's the thing with this is that developers are going to take a risk here. It's certainly obviously going to turn a lot of people off. You know, just reading the reviews for the Enlight app, you know, it enraged a lot of people. You know, how dare you ask us to pay monthly for this or whatever? But you know. It looks like a really cool app. I personally don't think that I need, you know, the features that it has, because I don't, you know, I'm a photographer, and while I do a lot of editing to my pictures, and some of them are pretty heavily edited and manipulated, if you want to use that word, I don't really consider myself like an iPhone artist. Like, I'm not doing like double exposure type stuff and that kind of like photo based art, you know, and that seems to be like when they show like the promo video for that PhotoFox app, it's kind of what it's geared towards, sort of, and it's cool. Don't get me
wrong.
There's
a lot of amazing images on there. Yeah.
But yeah, it's very cool, but I already have apps that can do that stuff and I don't use them. Like, ever, because I don't know. I just don't create that type of stuff. So,
okay, let me interrupt you real quick, because, you know, I was looking down in the comments for the Enlight 2, the PhotoFox, and the top one, it's 5 stars. It says, "Stop complaining!" with exclamation points.
And, yeah, I saw that.
It's people like these idiot reviewers who continue to hold back the iOS platform as a whole. Oh, that's awesome.
I see it getting to the point where we're going to have to be choosy about, you know, the apps we use. Like, let's pretend that there is no Enlight wasn't free. You know, the Enlight app was, I don't know, $4 or $5, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's $3.99.
Okay. And, you know, and then let's, when I got Snapseed was like $5, I think.
Yeah, it was $4.99. You know,
before it became free or whatever. So, like, let's just say that Snapseed, let's say Enlight, there is no buy it and own it version. There's only a subscription, and then Snapseed decides they're going to go to a subscription. I'm only going to use one or the other. Right. I'm not going to have a subscription to both. You know what I mean? So right. I see it getting to a point where you're just going to have to decide, all right, this is what I'm going to use to edit my pictures. And I think for me, like, sooner rather than later here, I'm really going to be in that boat, because you know, I keep looking at these new iPads, these iPad Pros, and they're incredible. And I see it getting to the point here very, very shortly where I'm not going to need my iMac. I'm not going to even need a desktop at all. I'm going to be able to do pretty much everything I want to do, whether it's photo editing or any other computer related stuff that I would need to do on the iPad. And if I'm going to do that, I'm not going to have Apple's Aperture anymore, which is, you know, a dead program now, but I still have it on my computer and I can use it.
Blast from and, the past.
Yeah. So what am I going to do? And, you know, the Creative Cloud is looking like a good option, because to be honest with you, the Lightroom app for iOS is actually a pretty sweet app.
Yeah.
And I could see myself paying the $9.99 subscription or whatever to have Lightroom, so that if I did have a desktop, I could sync back and forth between, you know, iOS and the desktop. And then it also unlocks all the features on in Lightroom for me as well.
Yeah. On your
phone. I don't know. It's gonna go that way. I have a feeling, but you know, I can only have so many subscriptions. I just had some magazines that I canceled because I realized that I was forgetting I even had them.
Oh geez, yeah.
And I wasn't reading them. And you know, I pay for Pandora because I use Pandora a lot, and I just decided I use it so much I'd rather just not listen to the ads, so I you know, have a $4.99 subscription with them.
I'm cheap. I still get the ads.
What's that?
I said I'm cheap. I still get the ads.
Well, the other benefit with Pandora in this case is that you also have the option to get a higher quality audio file to stream.
And I think you can replay songs that you already heard. Instead of
They have a couple different things now. I don't know.
Yeah.
But in any case, I have some other subscriptions too. And then, you know, and then if you have whatever else that you pay for monthly, Netflix and cable and all that stuff, it adds up.
It does. I'm curious to see where this is going to go. Who, if Nlyte, well, you know, Adobe has been the one to kind of trailblaze this. But Nlyte will be interesting, but I agree. I think things are going to change, and I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened sooner.
Yeah, me too. Well, we'll keep an eye on all this stuff for sure. And I have a feeling this might be a topic that we visit again.
Yep.
In the future.
All right. Well, cool. I'm going to move us into our post pick of the week. All right, we are in the middle of our weekly photo challenge, and it's sunsets, and we are getting a ton of subscriptions. Not subscriptions. I got that stuck in my head. We got a ton of submissions. There we go.
We should get subscriptions,
dude. No kidding.
Let's turn Tiny Shutter into a subscription based. Now, I don't want to lose all our followers.
No. Yeah.
No.
Excuse me. But one interesting thing before I get into our post pick of the week is, are we like 10 shy of 1,000 members in our Facebook group?
Yes,
we are right now. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Wow. We're getting up there. That's pretty good. It's exciting.
I think, aren't we having a party when we get to 1,000?
Sure.
Total party.
We'll use all the Patreon pledges to fund it.
There we go.
Woohoo. Blow out the candle. All right.
It's just a candle. There's no cupcake or anything.
That's all we can afford.
We can't afford a lighter. We just can't afford the candle itself, so we can return it the next day unused.
That's right. Well, so we're in the middle of our weekly photo challenge. So this is where we will go to the well, which is our Instagram feed, the hashtag Tiny Shutter, and choose an image from the hashtag. And I found one that I found was striking, and it's absolutely beautiful. And it was submitted by Sunset Sam, Instagram at Sunset Sam. And it is a lighthouse. It's called Morning Clouds at Lighthouse. And it's a beautiful image. It's a not a very large lighthouse, but it has an interesting composition. The lighthouse is not centered, but there's a tree in front of it, which also isn't centered, so it kind of helps to balance out the image. But it's also done in sort of a paint mode, so that there's a lot of matted colors. It looks like there's some motion or blur in some of the details. And it would be something I would absolutely put on my wall because I think it's that great. So I said I have to pick this one. What are your thoughts on it, Dave?
Yeah, I'm total agree. I mean, it's almost a fall scene. It just grabs me like I should be having a little bit heavier of a jacket, and you can almost feel the breeze going by.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really nice, and like I said, it just has that, without being overdone, where a lot of the filters can go overblown when they try to do the painting effect.
Yeah,
it's light enough that it still looks like a photograph without going full paint mode.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Matt?
Oh, let me get it pulled up here. I lost my little Skype window. All right. Well, I remember what it looks like. I like the lighthouse. I love that tree.
Yeah.
The tree is super cool. Yeah. Just a couple things for me. I don't want to be that guy that like picks on pictures, but I'm going to, I don't know, send your angry letters to tinyshutter@gmail.com.
Is it the crop parts?
I wish that the top of the lighthouse wasn't cut off. I don't know why that, but it's like a OCD thing. It just bothers me. did you know I was going to say that?
I knew. I was looking at it, and you're like, "All right, I don't want to be." I said, "I knew exactly what you were talking about."
Yeah, I still like the picture. Like, I'm a sucker for lighthouses, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And it is kind of a unique composition and perspective because you're so close.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, so it's very charming. And I'm not the biggest fan of the Prisma stuff. I don't know, I'm kind of over it, but it definitely works with this image. So, like, yeah, I could see this on a canvas hanging on a wall in your office, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. No, having the clouds. So I'm assuming that the sun is behind him coming up, popping up out of the horizon or just above the clouds. But having the clouds in the background be dark against the setting, I think really helps to enhance the lighthouse itself. And I think it's a beautiful image. So, All right. Well, Sunset Sam, you are our post pick of the week. Congratulations. If you would like to be post pick of the week, go on to our Facebook group and participate in our weekly photo challenge. Also, submit your images on Instagram by using the hashtag Tiny Shutter. And we go through and we'll, on the off week or the in-between week, we will go through and pick from Instagram. So if you're not on Facebook, you can use that. Or if you're on both, you do both. Continue to submit images that that you're proud of to the hashtag, and then also participate in our weekly photo challenge. This is a great way for us not only to showcase our listeners' work, but, you know, give other people ideas, things that can help to inspire them. We also use our images as our cover photo for the Facebook group, our album art photo for the episode. And, you know, it's a great way to say, hey, look, I took this picture and these guys, they liked it. And it's on this episode. It'll always be associated with that episode. And, you know, we do it because it's a great way for you guys to be involved in the show, too. All right. Well, is there anything else that you guys would like to bring up, or I think we have ourselves a show here.
I think we're good with the show.
Cool.
I'm losing my voice.
All right, hold on 1 second. Let me play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
All right, Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, you can check me out on Instagram, I am, and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
Awesome. Dave.
You can find me on Instagram at ProfPod.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to the apps that we talked about, to our show notes, to our YouTube channel, our Facebook group, all by going to tinyshutter.com. And like I said, if you haven't joined us on Facebook yet, you're missing out. There's a lot of beautiful images that are being submitted. You know, things like the plotograph. Yeah, Plotograph. Apps like Plotograph, you know, if it wasn't for the Facebook group, I probably would not see it unless somebody told me about it. And so we kind of saw it and we're like, oh, this is awesome. And so a bunch of us downloaded it and started playing with it. And it was a great topic for our app feature. So, you know, things like that will pop up in our Facebook group. And it's, you know, it's fun to be able to participate and see what's out there. So I highly recommend joining us there. All right. Well, I think we're done. So, Dave, why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a great week.
And thank you, Matt, for coming on the show and hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, claiming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
Tower, this is Ghost Rider requesting a flyby.
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.